Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It hurts, doesn't it? All your dreams just hops down the fucking drain.
Big bucks, no whammies, stop!
Stop it, oh!
What's happening, guys? Happy Sunday and welcome to the Dynasty War Zone, the People's Dynasty Podcast. On today's show, we are going to own up to our biggest misses. We are going to hit you with some freezing cold Dynasty takes from this past season. And I got to say, my co-host is freezing right now. His Detroit Lions come up a little bit short, but he's here a little bit later than we scheduled the show. But you got to give the man, you know, 15 minutes or whatever to get his everything put back together. You know him as the man of the hour and the man with the power. Jerry, buddy, how are you? I know you're drinking.
Yeah, I have gone just straight Woodford. Today's a straight Woodford kind of day. We are 15 minutes removed from my Detroit Lions absolutely choking on applesauce. You can hear it in the tone of my voice, I'm sure. It feels like I'm pretty downtrodden. If you want my other feelings, my deeper feelings about what this game was, what it meant, you will have to subscribe to patreon.com/dynastywarzone because I just went on a little bit of a diatribe there. I see in the chat you wanted to give me a hug. I feel you. But this is what I will say for the regular show. The Lions deserved it. They absolutely had that game and they pissed it down the drain. Nobody played like champions. And they got what they deserved. Everybody is at fault. I could complain about everybody. Instead, let's talk fantasy football. Anything to get my mind off of the atrocity that I just watched with my own two ojos.
Yeah, I mean, between the freezing cold takes we're going to cover tonight and the whiskey, you'll be doing okay here in the next 45 to 50 minutes. But just want to make sure to remind everybody that we have our own show. Our guy Dallas is going to be live on Monday with a podcast all of his own, rookie content as we go into, it used to be the Senior Bowl. It's not just seniors anymore, so it's not the Senior Bowl, but they're calling it the Senior Bowl. I like Dallas's term. Dallas is calling it All-Star Game Weekend.
It's fair.
I can live with that. That's reasonable. Speaking of All-Star Games, they're going to host the NBA All-Star Game here in Indianapolis in a couple of weeks.
Look at you. I mean, Indy's not going down to host anything, honestly.
You know, we have a better than average airport in Indianapolis. It's not great, especially if you're looking for direct flights. But if you have to come here, depends on where you live. If you live like in a hub city like a Chicago, Dallas, Miami, Atlanta, what have you, you'll get a direct flight. But if you're coming from like Pittsburgh, you're going into Cleveland, over to Indy. So, but overall, yes, it's a good airport. We'll be hosting the Combine. A lot going on here in Indy in the next few months. But Jerry, anything else that you have from the playoffs, your thoughts on the Chiefs overcoming Lamar? Because it had the patron group chat riled up because people did not like takes in the group chat.
Yeah, I got to watch chunks of that game because I was at work. I worked in the morning shift, so I could get home to watch whatever the hell that just was. But I do live in Iowa, which is, if you didn't know that, I live in Iowa. Most people are Chiefs fans. So there are a lot of happy people, and they all know I'm a Lions fan. So even my work chat, that is literally just like a scheduling app, they're still texting me condolences. So it was a good game. You're betting against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Not a smart bet. Listen, I thought the Ravens were going to win. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. What do you want to say? I mean, it's going to be a great game. It should be a good Super Bowl. It's honestly, I mean, it's the defending Super Bowl champs, unbelievable coach, best quarterback in the league against the team that has played the absolute best from start to finish all year in San Francisco. So it'll be a good game, as much as I'm going to hate watching it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for this one. It's just, I find it odd. And certain people just get like, I think once people like you, they like you. And once especially on social media, and once they hate you, they hate you. Or maybe hate's the wrong word, but they look at reasons to pick at you. It's like Josh Allen. You know, they lost last week, and Josh Allen played tremendous. Tremendous. I heard some people, you know, poking, and, you know, he could have done better. And now, mind you, this isn't necessarily our dynasty or fantasy peers. This is big media, ESPN, blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. Nobody's got a bad word to say for Lamar. He did not play well. He was 20 of 37 passing, and that's because, what was it, a month ago we did our quarterback rankings? Is that right? 3-4 weeks? Yep. I moved Lamar way up, and I said it was because his passing had taken a nice step forward. The part of his passing game that has not taken a step forward is when the other team knows he has to pass. Because that's what happened today, and they pushed him off his first read. He got very flustered. And obviously there were turnovers in the game. The one in triple coverage was just
bad. Yeah.
You can't throw that ball.
No, you cannot.
I mean,
he needs better pass catchers too. Don't get me wrong, but yes, but that
are we going to do that? That little chestnut. He had Mark Andrews back.
Yeah,
likely he's playing better than ever. You got Beckham. You got Zay Flowers. I mean, he's got receivers. You know, Josh Allen's got what's left of Stephon Diggs and a handful of. I think Patrick Mahomes may like a word. Either. Patrick Mahomes may like a word.
I mean, listen, I take Rashee Rice over anybody else on.
Well, I'll tell you this, that catch that Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mr. Butterfingers himself, of all the times to come up with like a nuts catch, just right there. But this is not a playoff show. This is a freezing cold take show. We're going to get into that. We do have sponsors, and our sponsors today are primarily our friends here at Player Profiler. You know, rookie season's coming up. Our first mock draft is next Sunday. We're doing ours. Our boy Dallas Hyder is going to be here. I want to confirm. I'll say, first of all, welcome aboard to Dan Williamson. Dan's the man at Overhyped Sleeper. Drop the last E in Sleeper. He may be here next Sunday with us as well. So a lot going on here at the DWZ and Player Profiler. But just for you Dynasty gamers, let's hear about the Dynasty Dominator.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add Tight End Premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer. So you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team. And then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing. And it's going to be well worth it.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, now is a great time to get the Dynasty Dominator. Just
true.
You're either going to be starting startups, right? And then rookie drafts. There's not a better, and it's not that expensive, guys. I hate to say it, for you a McDonald's guy, Jerry?
I mean, a little bit. Arby's? I mean, more so when they had the snack wraps, but still.
Whatever your favorite combo meal is upsized is more expensive than the Dynasty Dominator with the new draft class.
100%.
Check combo prices near you. Well, anyway, speaking of player profiler and speaking of Dynasty, I don't have a good people, bad tweets, but I saw a tweet that, you know, we're going to put in that segment because I don't go looking for trouble, Jerry.
No. Well,
kind of. Sometimes, but not this time. So I was looking around and I found Theo's tweet. Theo Grimminger, the director of content here at Player Profiler, he tweeted out during the Lions game, Jahmyr Gibbs is a top two RB in Dynasty, and he's not second. So clearly, Theo thinks that Jahmyr Gibbs is the Dynasty RB1. Jerry, what are your thoughts on that?
I am not ready to do that. I just don't know if he gets the ball enough. He's absolutely talented enough to be in that situation. I just think Breece Hall is also very talented, and I think Bijan Robinson is very talented, and they're going to get more opportunities.
He's still my RB1. I still believe he can be this generation of running backs because I think he could be the next Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey type.
I don't necessarily disagree with you. And if you would have asked me that question about 2.5 hours ago, I think I was running around my apartment screaming about how large his male parts are.
His sack of Julia?
Yes. I think girthy was the word I used pretty loudly. I don't think my neighbors probably have no idea. I'll ask you
never to use it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Gibbs. I like the PPR value. He's had 3 or more catches in just like the last 6 games. I'll be curious to see what the offense looks like when Ben Johnson takes a job. Now, there's only 2 jobs technically still left open, the Commandos and the Seahawks. I could see the Commandos. I know his first name's Josh, the new owner of Josh Harris, the owner of the Washington Commandos. I think he's going to go all in on Ben Johnson. I'll be very curious. I would love for them to keep him in Detroit. I'm sure you would too.
Both, yeah.
But yeah, I'm with Theo. I think he's my Dynasty RB1. I know a lot of people, and we're not going to do our coaching breakdown show. We always do one of those for newer listeners that are finding us via Player Profiler. At some point, Jerry and I will sit down from a Dynasty perspective and look at the impacts of these new coaches, both pro and con. Good and bad. We'll look at it. And I know there's a lot of optimism right now in Atlanta because they brought in the passing game coordinator from the Rams, a McVay guy. We all want a McVay guy, Jerry.
Yeah.
I didn't get a good look at him. Is he as handsome as everyone else from that tree? You know,
actually sort of,
you know, what's his name? Matt LaFleur. He's probably got like a $58 haircut.
He's dreamy.
Always looks great. A lot of those guys. So we'll see. I just thought the tweet was interesting because Theo A is a great follow on Twitter at the OG Fantasy. And I agree with his take. So this is not Dana White worthy. You know what? I am going to, Jerry, what do you think tonight for Dana White? We're going to give this one, we're going to dedicate this one to Dan Campbell. You ready? Okay. And I'm a Dan Campbell guy.
Most motherfucker on the planet. Holy shit.
Yep. Tonight he made, and I've been a proud card carrying member of the Dan Campbell fan club. I like the biting kneecaps. I like how he motivates the guys, but sometimes the analytics be analyticing
a little too much. Yeah.
The spreadsheet says we go for it. You know, I'm going to quote Mike Lombardi when Mike Lombardi says, what's wrong with 3 points?
Could have used it.
What's wrong? Yeah, twice.
Could've, twice. Could've you could.
You're the difference in the game. But anyway, there you go. There's the good people, bad tweets. You got Dana White, but you are here for some freezing cold takes, Jerry. Do you have a freezing cold take that you want to start with?
I mean, God, Randy, I could do quite a few. Actually, let's start with my running backs, my friend. How many times did you hear me talk about Najee Harris coming into this season?
Well, this is a twofer, so I'll let you start.
I mean, I'm just gonna go with Najee because I thought Najee was gonna be like RB8 coming into the season, and he absolutely pooped his pants on me.
You know, not on you.
Well, no. It actually probably would have been a little bit better if he did. Maybe I would have gotten a settlement out of it. But, I mean, it sucks because you look at the end of the season stats, and I think he had like 1,200 total yards right around there. So you go, okay, that's not terrible. But then you just see what week after week what the points were. Ew, ew, ew. And none of it is trending upward. So, I mean, that was a swing and a miss from Jerry. That was Dan Campbell for sure. That was Josh Reynolds dropping it on fourth down.
He to your point, down the stretch, weeks 16, 17, and 18, he did pretty well. I will be very fascinated to see what they do from an OC perspective. We have it in the chat. Anthony in the chat said, you know, Matt Canada did Najee no favors.
True.
And I want to agree with that because if you go back to last year's draft kit with Player Profiler, now, luckily, I got a 1-for-2 because I was going to only do one, which was Najee Harris. Luckily, they needed someone to do a last one, and so I did Evan Engram. Nailed Evan Engram, so I at least got that one right. But I couldn't have been more wrong on Najee. And I will lean on Anthony's point in the chat here on YouTube. By the way, all you guys watching on YouTube, just leave a thumbs up. I love the interaction in the chat, but leave us a thumbs up. And he's right. It feels like their offense was so bad. It was run, pass. Obvious run situation, obvious pass situation. They weren't mixing it up. They didn't have a lot of pre-snap motion. They weren't
executing either.
Well, but it's hard to execute when the defense knows what you're doing. You know, Najee needs a little bit of, like, if he gets going, he does fine. But when they know he's coming, like even the offensive line was supposed to have been better. They drafted the kid out of Georgia, the tackle, Broderick Jones, I think was his name. The big blocking tight end out of Georgia, Darnell Washington. They signed a guy in free agency from the Eagles. They were supposed to have fixed the offensive line. I think now is the time that Najee's a buy because no one likes him. It's just him and Jaylen Warren. And he's still going to be the focal point of the running game. I don't think that he should. Jerry, what are you doing with Najee from a buy standpoint, a sell standpoint, a whatever standpoint?
You're not selling him because are you going to find a buyer? No. Especially during sexy rookie season?
So many leagues.
No. I mean, you not a shot. There's not a way you're going to sell him. You're holding him. There's no...
What's he going for in rookie picks? Like, at what point do you say yes? Okay, I'm going to be very realistic. The 210. Jerry, you're offered that. You're offered Najee for the 210.
Oh, I get Najee for. Yes, I got to trade. I'm trading the 210.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm doing.
I mean, Superflex tight end premium one QB. It's a slam dunk. So you're
taking. I'll probably go up as high as about 205, 206.
Okay, so there's 18 to 20 players in a Superflex tight end premium that you would rather have above Najee, what you know today.
If I am acquiring. If I have Najee, I'm also not selling him for that.
Yeah, I would rather just hold.
Yeah.
I would rather just hold and see what this offense looks like next year. He's on the final year. I doubt they pick up his fifth-year option. He's going into year four. I couldn't imagine them wanting to pay him first round, you know, fifth year option money. Maybe they try to re-sign him on a cheap deal, but I don't think so. I mean, that's the scary thing about Najee. Like, if you get Najee, he's like depth for a contender. He is not helping. He is not helping you coming. No,
when he's sitting on your bench, you're happy to have Najee Harris. Like when you have your running back set up and you're in your roster and you're looking and you go, okay, if one of them gets hurt, I could throw Najee up there. You're happy with that.
Yeah, 100%. And Najee was one of my guys as well. He's actually the picture. If you've not been to YouTube and seen the amazing thumbnail graphic from the really awesome player profiler graphics team, you need to check it out. It's pretty cool. No pun intended. So I'll get into one of mine. And for me, it was Chris Godwin. I was partially right in that Baker was going to be good for a wide receiver in Tampa Bay. I just didn't think it was going to be Mike Evans. Because when I looked at it, the way that Mike Evans plays the game and the way Baker plays the game, it just did not feel like a mesh. It did not feel like it was conducive to what Baker would do well. I also thought that they would get Godwin more involved in screens. He was coming back another full year removed from the ACL injury. I just thought it was going to be a big year for him, especially with receptions and yardage, and it really wasn't. I don't know what's going to happen, but that was one of the big whiffs because we've already mentioned Najee. Jerry, what are your thoughts on Godwin? Are you a Godwin guy? He's still fairly young.
I mean, I think he's fine if the acquisition cost is cheap, but I have always sort of been pretty skeptical about Godwin, and it absolutely backfired the 1 year he was wide receiver two. Other than that, I have actually been okay to do that. So to answer the question, no, I am not really a Godwin guy. I'm also fine if you want to go for him. I'm not paying much for him, though. Like, I just that's Mike Evans. I mean, that's all Mike Evans.
Okay, so he finished as wide receiver 28 on the season. This is all 17 games into the sample. I mean, I'm fine with that. I think he's cheap. I think these are the guys that disappointed. And where do you think you get him in rookie picks? Because rookie picks are right around the corner. I'm waiting if I'm trying to get him for
203.
Picks.
203. Is 203 crazy? 201?
Maybe a little high because this is a big wide receiver class. So if you're going to go with a wide receiver.
I don't think I would flip that. I'm just sort of going on consensus because I feel like people like him more than I do.
I think by the time that your actual rookie draft gets here.
Oh, yeah, probably pretty late.
I'm thinking you might have a shot at 207, give or take. Because there's going to be that new hotness, and you're like, well, just give me Chris Godwin off the back end of your roster.
I would guess a lot of people probably do that. I'm guessing a lot of people will part ways with him. He'll be a throw in for a lot of trades to get him over the top.
How many targets do you think he had this year?
I don't even have the slightest idea.
He had 130.
Yeah, I would have not guessed anywhere near that.
Crept. I mean, like, barely crept over the 1,000-yard mark, had 1,024 yards, only two touchdowns. And I don't want to say Mike Evans sucked all the oxygen out of the touchdown room, but that kind of feels like it. And here's the thing. He'll turn 28 next month. So he's still got a couple of good years.
Agreed. He's a value because of that, for sure, because he's a aging vet. And he hasn't been sexy in 3 years. And that is sort of the biggest thing that he's got going for him, because he had 2 years where he was, oh my God, if I could just go 4 minutes on Twitter without reading about Chris Godwin, it would have been a miracle. But now we're to the point that nobody gives a damn about him. So the value is there for sure.
I think the only reason why you're buying now is if you think Tampa lets Mike Evans walk in free agency. If Mike Evans walks, he becomes the de facto wide receiver one, maybe gets more of those red zone targets. Maybe those touchdown numbers come up. But he's the kind of guy that if you're contending and you, I think you're never going to get him cheaper than you are now. So if I could send like a 207, 208, now even if I had to add like a 25 third, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I can dig that.
that's the best I got on Chris Godwin. You know, maybe I read the situation a little bit better than I thought. I thought he'd get a lot of targets, and clearly he got 130. That's a lot of targets.
You want to know a rookie that I screwed up on, Randy?
Yes, sir, I do.
Jalen Hyatt, man. He won the Biletnikoff. I thought he's going to go into New York, and he's going to be the only guy there, and Daniel Jones is going to just feed him the rock. And he proceeded to get 23 catches for 373 yards, and 100 of it was against the Patriots in like week 13 or something. He didn't do anything. And now, granted, Daniel Jones wasn't there for a vast majority of that season, but even when he was, Jalen Hyatt didn't show anything like he was going to be dynasty roster relevant at all. And I really thought he was going to be the guy that everybody was sort of overlooking, and you could grab late and he'd be that producer, the Puka Nacua, if you will. No, not at all.
I always liked him. What had you on him to start the season?
Honestly, pretty productive at Tennessee.
He had one big preseason game, if I remember.
He could have. I don't remember the preseason, but he was fun to watch at Tennessee. Did it in the SEC against SEC defenses. Ends up in a situation where he's going to have an opportunity where he can take a step. I figured Daniel Jones was going to take a step with Brian Daboll. They did not. And so it was just all a disaster. The team went down the toilet. Daniel Jones didn't play. Jalen Hyatt didn't really get the opportunities. When he did, he didn't do much with it. Ew. And do I think it's going to get exponentially better? No. I think he'll have a nice role, and Daniel Jones will play, and he'll get 700 yards, and nobody will care in dynasty teams.
Yeah, it feels like he is destined to be that field stretcher guy. He's going to run a lot of wind sprints. He's going to be really lean. He'll be in great shape. He will not contribute to your fantasy roster. I have a guy that I was wrong on. You know, you brought up rookie, so I'll throw in a rookie here as well that I was wrong on. It's like this role never materialized for him, and that was Roschon Johnson. Now, Roschon Johnson right now is a stone-cold buy for me. They just brought in Shane Waldron to be their new offensive coordinator. I think his offense is a little bit more pass-happy to the running back, and I believe that they are going to draft Caleb Williams. And I think this is going to be more of a passing team and less of a running team. I still want Justin Fields to wind up in Las Vegas with the Raiders. We'll see what happens with that as we get closer to the draft. But, you know, Roschon never really got it going. I mean, I'm looking at his stats right now. Jerry, what do you think the most number of rush yards he had in a game? And I'm going to give you a clue. So I want to know the most rushing yards he had in a single game, and he had a 10-rush game and a 9-rush game.
10 rushes for 51 yards.
His best rushing performance was 9 for 37. No, 8 for 38. I had it off by one. That was his best. And that's with as the Podfather, Matt, as he likes to say, that's with the Alfred Morris corollary, that being a running back that's tethered to a running quarterback. I think part of it was Luke Getsy was a knucklehead. But this is a buy. Jerry, can we sidetrack this for just a second?
Yeah, of course.
I saw this the other day, and it didn't make good people bad tweets, but I want to make you all aware, because I've seen this many times, so it doesn't matter. There's a lot of people who have tweeted this. Have you seen Tajay Spears as a buy in the dynasty space?
Yes, absolutely.
See, that's the point where someone stops being a buy, because all the value, all the equity that you would get from getting him at a reasonable price is gone. So you're going to pay market plus for Tajay Spears. And I like Tajay Spears. We've been pro Spears on this podcast since we saw him at the Senior Bowl last year. Our boy Dallas, I believe, was a fan the year before that. So I have no issue with Tajay Spears. what you have to understand is this is a game of incomplete information. And as more of the information becomes complete, the more it changes value. So because more people are on Tajay Spears, I would rather go out and try to acquire Roschon Johnson. I don't know that Khalil Herbert or Deonta Foreman are a barrier. I don't know that the Bears go out and sign someone in free agency. This draft class is okay, but I've not been super wowed. So even though he did not have a great rookie season, and he had a concussion that kept him out for 2.5 games. At least I think it was a concussion. I know he missed 2.5 games. I'm pretty sure it was. And I just think this is a good chance to catch the bounce back. I do like the fact that he had a 5-catch game and he had multiple 4-catch games. So I like the passing profile. I like the offensive coordinator, and I think he gets a QB upgrade. Jerry, how do you feel about Roschon?
He's going to win that job. So I think he's absolutely a buy. Also, didn't get the opportunities, like you said, 10 rush, 9 rush, 8 rush games. So we haven't seen tons of production. Absolutely creates a window for him. I'm all for it, man. And if we're going to just keep the rookie talk going about guys I missed on, let's talk about another wide receiver, Andy. Johnny Mingo. I ain't your Huckleberry. Let me tell you, Johnny Mingo. Ew. What else is there to say about that one? That whole offense is bad. Bryce Young did not help me out. Johnny Mingo didn't do anything anyway. He let 38-year-old Adam Thielen do laps around him.
Do you think he's got upside for this upcoming season? Because Can I get him
for free?
I think he's the kind of guy that I'm going to ask for as a throw-in in a trade just because I can't. I mean, you definitely can. Like if you have a trade or you're making a trade and you just see that other GM happens to have Jonathan Mingo, on their roster, you're not going to crush a deal by asking them to throw in Johnny Mingo.
No, of course not. That's fair. I just worry that we're looking at Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor had some good draft capital, and we'll just throw him into a deal. And then Jalen Rager's on my team for a year until I got to drop him. That's sort of what Johnny Mingo feels like.
I feel like you need to avoid T. Higgins, Mike Evans. You need to avoid those type of guys in free agency.
Yeah.
Because with their draft picks, they don't have they have the first pick of the second round. So I don't believe they give their second to Chicago until next year. I think it was this year's first, next year's second, along with everything else they gave Chicago. But yeah, I mean, I don't mind him as a throw-in. I'm not proactively getting. What do you think about the new head coach, Kanellis, who came over from the Buccaneers, and the way he rejuvenated Baker in this offense? Do you have hopes for Bryce Young and Mingo?
Exactly that, though. I mean, he rejuvenated Baker. He rejuvenated Mike Evans. So maybe. I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible. I think he's got a shot. You know, I don't know enough about him or about scheme or about anything like that, but he seems like he's going to be conducive to helping that team grow, which is exactly what they need, because they were just not it. It was bad. It was the game that when it was on primetime on a Thursday, you got on Twitter and you made fun of it.
All right, I'll do one more rookie, and I got a veteran and a half to do as well. I'm going to go Luke Musgrave. Okay. as a pretty cold one for me. I was a big Luke Musgrave guy, referenced many times that he was like a four sport athlete in high school. Really good athlete. He did battle some injuries. He came back in the playoffs. I know Tucker Kraft came in and I don't want to say took that job, but definitely was the tight end of record. Although if you watch the playoff games, I love their involvement of Luke Musgrave. I think he'll be the guy. I just don't think it worked out. And the reason why this made my freezing cold takes is because I thought he was going to do better than Sam Laporta and Dalton Kincaid. Not to say that he was going to blow him out of the water. He was just my pick of the three. So that was the big miss. It wasn't so much that he didn't set the world on fire, because I'm not holding it against him that Laporta did real well. It was good for Laporta. Great. Rookie tight ends very rarely do. So good for Laporta. I think you're going to hear a lot this year. I think you're going to hear a ton of people say, mark my words, Jerry, you got your pencil?
Oh, always. I'm a pen guy, but yes.
Grab your ink stick and write this down. People are going to call Michael Mayer, the second round tight end from the Raiders, they are going to call him 2024's Trey McBride. Don't be shocked. I'm not making this a hot take yet, but don't be shocked if Luke Musgrave isn't next year's Trey McBride. The only thing that will keep him from breaking out to that level is that there are so many pass catchers in that offense, with Dobbs and Reed and Watson and Wicks and Melton and Kraft. There's just a lot of options. He would have to take a considerable step up to make that, because people were not talking about Trey McBride this time last year as like, I've seen him in some people's rankings as high as tight end two.
Yeah.
And I was the Trey McBride guy. Check the tape. Go back, search Mind of Mansion. If you're like a podcast listener, Mind of Mansion from like June or July, where I went on with the Podfather. I'm a big Trey McBride guy, but you can't say that you saw that coming. And then for lightning to strike twice like that, that was a certain set of circumstances that were pretty favorable. I like Musgrave, but don't be surprised if he's one of the breakouts next year.
That's fair. More of a
tough. But he's not. He's never gonna catch up to Sam Laporta at this point.
No.
It would be really, really tough. So Jerry, there is our first round. We're not done, but we have to hear one more word from our friends at Sleeper.
Hey, we're all starting new fantasy leagues all the time. And more often than not, where do we start our fantasy leagues at Player Profiler? On Sleeper. Because it's the best. You can imagine my excitement when I saw Sleeper rolled out. Sleeper picks, baby. And game stacking is the path to positive returns with these pick 'em games. Find that sneaky shootout and set most of the players to go over their projection for that week. Or you find a game going to get dragged into the mud and take every member of the passing game for less than their projections that week. And if you pick up to 8, that's how you 100x your payout on Sleeper. It's called the Hail Mary. So if you use promo code Underworld, you get a $100 instant deposit match. Check out Sleeper's terms and conditions for details. These Sleeper picks are live in over 25 states. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, we like Sleeper. Jerry, we'll be doing startups on Sleeper. Now we'll be doing Dynasty Fantasy Football. That is the official home of all of our patron leagues.
Also, the premier platform in Dynasty. So you can suck it, Randy. And you're yelling at a cloud, yelling at kids on your lawn.
Sleeper is great. we love Sleeper.
So here we go. I've been flipping. You notice it. Nobody else notices it. But I kept muting myself because I'm flipping through my notebook trying to find the damn show where we did our predictions. September 3rd, 2023, Jerry finally found his stuff. Prime age wide receiver to flop. Who do you think I said, Randy? They did
prime
well.
Prime age. It wouldn't have been Amon-Ra St. Brown, because that's your boy. That's your boy. Mike Evans.
No, I love Mike Evans. DJ Moore.
Oh yeah, you know what? I was not super in as well. I was more tepid than cold on this one because I've always been DJ Moore fan. But beat yourself up a little bit.
I mean, listen, I thought it was Justin Fields was not going to be it, and the workload was not going to be there, and it was. And he found the end zone, which he had historically not been doing. Another one that I absolutely messed up, but coach to drive down dynasty value. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
D'Amico Ryans. Jerry, how wrong could you have been, my friend?
Well, although you weren't correct.
No. You, I was absolutely atrociously wrong.
even though you weren't correct, it was still a gamble to think that Bobby Slowick, who had, you know, about 5 years ago worked at PFF and had never called plays before at the NFL level. And this is what happens when you just assume that a dysfunctional franchise is going to continue to be dysfunctional. Yeah. I like D'Amico Ryans. I think D'Amico Ryans, I don't know that he's a smarter version. I think he's more of a polished version of Dan Campbell. I think the players love him. I think he's really smart. I think he's a good coach. I just question the choice of Bobby Slowick. So I can see where you would take that as an L on the Houston Texans. And who was your player before the coach?
DJ team? Moore, prime age wide receiver to flop, which I absolutely thought was going to happen.
You know, he had games that were flop worthy. And then he had weak winning weeks.
Of course.
So when
even so, he was still much more consistent than I thought he was going to be. He was reliable pretty often. Yes, there was chunks when he went missing, but I missed on that one. And I can confidently say that one because I genuinely thought DJ Moore was going to continue to be what DJ Moore was.
Now, back during our rankings podcast we did, like I said, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, whatever it was, I mentioned that, you know, I had DJ Moore just on the outside of my top 12. And I had that because he's very similar in age to AJ Brown, who is in the top 4 to 5 for just about every dynasty analyst out there. What do you do with DJ Moore if Justin Fields is gone? I should say when, but if Justin Fields is gone, where do you, does that concern you, the lack of chemistry, because he had chemistry with Fields? What are your thoughts on DJ Moore going forward?
No, he's done enough to suggest that he'll be fine. And is Caleb Williams going to be a downgrade in that passing attack? I don't think he is. So I think you're actually happier if you're going to rely on the results. And I think his value is going to be boosted, even if you don't think the results are going to, or the stats are going to be there. I think the trade value is still going to increase either way. So I think you're fine no matter what happens. If you believe in him and you want to ride him out, I think it's going to be good. If you don't and you just want to get out from under him, I think the value is still going to be an uptick. You're fine either way.
All right. Let me ask you a question. If you could, now, this comes down to how much credence you put into mock drafts. If you're a big mock draft fan and they're never super accurate, but if you believe the mock drafts and you believe the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams at 1, which they should, and then they're going to draft a Rome Odunze type at the wide receiver position at the 9th overall pick, I think the combination of those two events are enough for me to downgrade DJ Moore a little bit. Not to say that Rome Odunze is going to come in and suck all the oxygen out of the room. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But you go, we don't know if you're the quarterback's favorite target. We don't know that. It's a new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, new competition, highly drafted, highly thought of competition. So is that enough reason for you to be out in these dynasty streets trying to move DJ Moore for top 12 at the wide receiver position prices?
I think you're fine to have that take. I don't think the argument is flawed. I just think if Caleb Williams comes to town and then he's got to compete with Rome Odunze or somebody of that nature, I think he's going to want to rely on the guy who's been there and who can show him the ins and outs of what it takes to be successful in the NFL. And I think DJ Moore will be the guy more so. Yes, more competition will eat into him a little bit. But also, if you want to go the other side of that sword, you're going to say it'll clean up a little bit of that secondary coverage and he's going to get open more often. He's going to get better opportunities. I think that's an argument that can be made also. So I think it's fine either way. You're happy to have DJ Moore. You're chilling on him. I don't think there's any panic out of a DJ Moore owner.
Okay. I just trying to paint a variety of options in the form of, you know, what the listeners can do with DJ Moore. Hey, here's how you can put together your selling conversation. Here's how you put together your buying conversation. Because that's where you get value, I guess, is the best way to put that. All right, I got a guy, not super thrilled with myself. Now, part of it was injury, but this is the cautionary tale of what's going to happen. You know, in year two of this offense, what's C.J. Stroud going to look like? You know, I thought in year two of Brian Daboll's offense, I thought Daniel Jones was really going to, you know, bring this thing together. They brought in Darren Waller. They drafted Jerry's boy, Jalen Hyatt. They just, Saquon was healthy. They had him, they got the contract worked out. Daniel Jones got paid. It kind of felt like everything was supposed to line up for Danny Dimes, and he became Danny Dust. He just was not great. I mean, what are you doing with him, Jerry? I mean, it wasn't your cold take, but what are you doing with Danny Dimes?
Actually, it is. I'm looking at another one that we did. And one of them was the one that I said earlier was Najee Harris. Najee Harris will finish as RB1. Yeah, good job, Jerry, you idiot. The other one is Daniel Jones will finish as top 5 QB. So what am I doing? I mean, I'm not selling him because he's still going to be the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. And if I'm playing in a super flex league, I'm better off just holding on to him and having him in case some stuff happens. Because if we learned anything from this season, stuff can happen.
You know, he brought that sneaky, and what I liked about him is he brought that sneaky Konami code running ability. Now he'll be coming off the ACL. And he's not a bad athlete. Mm-mm. I mean, he's not Lamar, Kyler, Josh Allen, but he's a better athlete than people realize. He's only going to be 27. I just wonder if there's a chance that you could get him super dirt cheap as a contender.
I would absolutely assume you can.
To me, this is the kind of like third quarterback I love to have. If you've already got a couple of good quarterbacks you really love, and you know, maybe you lose a guy to retirement. Maybe you had Geno Smith as your QB3, and you're just not. I
take another shot.
I mean, if you're Seattle, do you just risk it for the biscuit and draft the kid? I mean, I've heard people say he's not a first round pick, but you have a guy right there in state, like down the road a piece, in Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Do you go get him? Do you give Penix Jr. the Patrick Mahomes redshirt year and develop him long term? I mean, but this is the kind of thing where, to take it back to Geno as your QB3, if he gets nuked from a value perspective, then you're going to need a QB3. How about this, Jerry? If you were having a QB3 right now, would you rather have, man, I got to hit you with something. Let me get a list of QBs here. Would you rather have Daniel Jones as your QB3 or Will Levis?
I don't really believe in Will Levis, but I think the answer is Will Levis.
Okay. Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Bryce?
Well, it depends on my situation. If I'm a contender,
just in general,
it Will Levis.
Okay. I think it's Will Levis both ways. You know,
you like Billy though.
I do. I'm very interested by the offensive minded head coach. I love that for young quarterbacks, way better than a defensive minded head coach. It doesn't always line up, you know. Just like I said, you mentioned D'Amico Ryans.
Here's why I like taking a shot on somebody like Michael Penix. Like, I'm not exactly sure that Michael Penix is going to pan out in the NFL, but I know Geno Smith is not going to win me a Super Bowl. Like, Geno Smith has already had his resurrection of relevance in the NFL, and it's been good enough for like seventh place in the NFC, and you sneak into the playoffs and you lose a game, and that's what he is. Yeah. So like, if I'm playing for that, no, thank you. I'm good. That's just wasting my time. I'm going to be stuck in purgatory the whole time. So I'll take the shot on Penix. And if he poops his pants, then I'll win four games and I'll have a top five pick and I can get another quarterback deal.
All right. One last question. Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Kenny Pickett?
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't think that one's particularly close. I mean, no. Pickett's got the weapons. He's got the offensive line. They were talking to Arthur Smith about coming in to be the play caller. That's a yikes right there.
Is there a worse, like, who would you rather have when it comes to bad PRs in Dynasty than Kenny Pickett and Daniel Jones? I don't think there is.
Well, but that's why I love them so much, because look at all the Tyson Bagents and Mitch Trubisky and Jarrett Stidham and all these backups that had to play all the time.
Yep.
I think trying to, you know, it's like a short sale. You're just trying to buy long enough to be able to flip.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to get a Daniel Jones, a Kenny Pickett, a Will Levis. And I think Will Levis is a little bit different, similar, but different in that you just want him to get off to a hot start. There's always going to be a major quarterback injury. There always is, you know, go from Joe Burrow to Aaron Rodgers and so many more that you're going to get the opportunity to sell. So even if you get them for a second now, I think that might be high, but you know, whatever, for picks or what have you, you could get a nice chance to cash out. Now it has to roll your way, but so many of us play in super flex leagues. I'm always going to take swings at these guys that have shown flashers in the past. That's just how I roll. All right, Jerry, one more and we'll get out of here. Give us one more freezing cold Jerry take.
I mean, mine was definitely going to be Daniel Jones. Let's see. It was a good one. I'm trying to just think of them based on, I knew I was going to say Najee right off the bat because that was wrong. I'm not trying to play. I'm trying to just think, you know who it is? The guy that I thought was going to jump into that, not the top tier of wide receivers, but that second tier is Devonta Smith, and didn't. Barely cracked 1,000 yards. I mean, he got probably 6 or 7 touchdowns, something. It looked like AJ Brown was the only guy that was going to get any targets or any love for the first half of the season. Devonta Smith finally started to get into the end zone, never really had tons of explosion games. Jalen Hurts looked like he was not right. That offense fell apart. That's what you get when you have Matt Patricia on your staff and the players have to look at him. That absolute cursed, dreadful human being that is Matt Patricia. But Devonta Smith, I really, really thought he was going to take that jump and be like wide receiver 4 in Dynasty. And now he's like wide receiver 14.
What are you doing with him?
I think he still has the possibility to be somebody that's going to be wide receiver 4. So I think he's a buy. And when it comes to rookie season, what's he going to be worth? Because people are going to rather have Malik Neighbors. People are rather going to have Roma Dunze than him.
I'll take Malik Neighbors over him right now, but I...
See, I don't know if I would when it actually comes down to it, but depending where he goes, of course.
There are three guys in this class that I know I am already a big fan of. Now, I've just started. I'm no Dallas Hyder. I'm no Shane Hallam. I've not crunched all the rookies. But I will tell you exactly three guys that I am in on. So for those of you listening, you guys can, Jerry, you can potentially snipe me next week. Number one is Drake May. That's my quarterback. I feel like T.O.
Because he's going to not be sexy and he's going to fall down draft boards. And that's the exact guy that Randy goes for every single time.
I'm telling you, Caleb Williams is the Joe Burrow of this class. I'm telling you that Jaden Daniels is the Tua Tagovailoa of this class. He'll be the guy who comes from the SEC school, Heisman Trophy winner. He'll be very popular. And then I'm just going to take this like I did with Justin Herbert. I'm going to take boring old Justin Herbert, Drake May. So that's my quarterback. And I'm pretty well into this process enough to know that I'm going to have a lot of Malik Nabers. I think in any other class that didn't have a Marvin Harrison Jr. level prospect, this guy would be so high up draft boards. He is, he's in a tier all his own. It's Marvin Harrison, space, Malik Nabers, space, Roma Dunze, and the rest of these guys.
I think that's probably fair to assume.
And then I think I'll have a lot of Blake Corum.
You know,
I like his grit. I like his grit.
Ew, I hate that you absolutely put a Wolverine with a Dan Campbell saying, but it's fine.
Well, it wasn't intentional, but I see how
if he ends up with Jim Harbaugh as the Austin Ekeler replacement on the Chargers. Oh my God, Blake Corum to the effing moon. I'll probably have a lot of him too, honestly.
I didn't think about that.
Well, because he's not going JJ. Listen, Jim Harbaugh.
If they tried to trade Justin Herbert.
No, they would never. They would never.
I forget.
I can only see Michigan fans tweet dumbass shit like that all the time. Sorry, I shouldn't have sworn that much.
No, you're fine.
But no, Austin Ekeler's old. It's about time. Bring in Blake Corum. Yes, he never caught passes like that, but don't tell me he can't do it. That's a lie. And he's the exact kind of guy that would feed into it. I love that.
I am not a Harbaugh brothers fan at all.
Let's talk about this for a minute, because it is sort of the biggest news that's happened since the last time we did a show. How do you feel about Justin Herbert with Jim Harbaugh? I think it hurts him just a little, not enough to like make you go, "Oh, I don't want Justin Herbert anymore." But I think he is going to pass the ball less.
You know, I heard that Kellen Moore was going to be great for him this year. Wasn't the case,
right?
I heard that Mike McCarthy was going to be bad for Dak. Wasn't the case. I will just say this. Jim Harbaugh will build an offense around what his team can do and not around his offense. I think he is that guy. You ever watch the show Chopped on the Food Network?
Yes.
Where they just do they give you the ingredients and you got to make something. Mm-hmm. I think Jim Harbaugh is a good enough chef to where you can hand him the ingredients and he's going to make a recipe out of what he's given, as opposed to someone who is like, "Hey, I'm trying to make a chocolate cake, but I've got a hog's ear, you know, a pound of Jello, and some green beans."
We're talking about Matt Patricia again. We've gone full circle.
Yes, we are right back to Matt Patricia where we started. But Jerry, that's cold takes. That is cold takes. I don't want to get too deep into the coaching carousel, because maybe we'll do that the week of the Super Bowl. Now, just a point of parliamentary procedure. We will be here next Sunday night live with Dallas and maybe Dan. We will be doing a rookie draft. Yeah, I see all the people watching. You need to like subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe, because you don't want to miss the rookie draft. We're going to do a rookie draft. Maybe the Monday, not the Sunday of the Super Bowl. I will not want to record a podcast, so we'll do it Monday that week. We'll do the live stream on Monday if we can get Jerry to do it, and we'll start breaking down the coaching hire. We'll figure something out. But Jerry, yep, we don't get them all right. We get a lot right. We really do. But we wanted to come on here, and it's cold outside, so we thought we'd just wrap up the cold with some cold takes.
That's true. I mean, listen, you got to take L's from time to time. Unfortunately, me as a football fan, I have taken a very hard L today, and I don't know if I'm going to overcome it anytime in the near future.
Well, look at it this way. It's better to take a hard L than a hard D. That's a show.
Damn it.
That is a show. I'm excited to start talking rookies.
Yeah.
But we're going to go back and forth. We're going to do rookies. We're going to do coaching hires. We're going to talk about free agency. NFL free agency is literally 6.5 weeks away, as crazy as that is to say. Pretty excited. I love free agency. So we're going to bounce back and forth, because what I don't want to do is take like a hammer and beat this audience about the head and neck with rookies. We're going to talk a ton of rookies. Our man Dallas Hyder, if you're listening to this on Sunday night, there's going to be a new rookie rundown on Monday on the Dynasty Warzone feed. So you want to go check that out. We're going to give you plenty of rookie content here. We're just not going to just inundate you with it all off season, Jerry.
Which some of you will want that.
You got to mix it up.
It is your drug.
Oh, for
sure. Drug of choice. But also, there are vast, many angles that a dynasty player can play. And sometimes zigging when everyone is zagging is the exact thing you should be doing. So
that is a good way to take
this out. Honestly, that's why I sit here and that's why I talk to Randy, because otherwise, Jerry over here, monkey see, monkey do. I'll follow the line and I'll just choo-choo right behind him, and that'll be that.
That's where the money is made. It goes back to my Tajay Spears take in the middle of the show. It's nothing against Tajay Spears, but that's where everybody's mind's at right now. It's the same thing with these rookies. Everyone's mind's going to drift to rookies. And if you look hard and do some research, you'll find some nice values on the veteran market. So that's why we'll go back and forth and not just lock into one particular thing. We'll do some startup talk and so much more. But Jerry just drank the last of his Woodford Reserve, so he needs to get a refill. Jerry is going to wake up slobbering and stuck to the carpet tomorrow. Pause. And I'm going to go upload a new edition of the Rookie Rundown on the Dynasty Warzone. And if you're listening to this on Wednesday on the Player Profiler Network, go back, find it, check out Dallas, check out the Rookie Rundown. But on behalf of that man, a very morning man of the hour, man with the power, Mr. Jerry Sinclair, I am Memphis. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week for a mock draft.
Hey, I want to take a moment to thank you for tuning in. It's important to me that all of our media be free. This is only possible because of you, allowing a true independent sports media enterprise to thrive unlike any other in the business. So please subscribe to the All In Package to continue to make all of this possible, to ensure that all of our stats, information, data, content is available to you, especially you, the people that get the site and get the show.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.